Language barriers and cultural differences were already putting Latinos' health at risk before the coronavirus pandemic. But now that families are unable to be in the room to advocate for their loved ones, they're finding it more difficult to ensure patients are getting the care they need. Yesterday, we told you the story about the confusion surrounding a Midland family who lost a relative in the hospital. Today, WFAE's Laura Brache takes a broader look at how cultural differences play out in hospitals.
Ana Chagoyan lost her brother Juan, age 40, from what the hospital suspects was COVID-19 pneumonia. She also says before he died, her 57-year-old mother was in critical condition with COVID-19.
We are desperate because, well, with my brother's death, my sick mother, with small children, with bills that we have to pay, it is not easy. It's just not easy.
At least 8 family members, all living under the same roof, either showed symptoms or tested positive for the coronavirus. The family believes that, based on the listed cause of death, Juan was only properly treated for his COVID-19 diagnosis and not for the effects of the stroke that got him in the hospital. They were under a strict quarantine order by Cabarrus County, so they weren't able to see him or interact with hospital staff in person. They say the hospital wasn't straightforward about Juan's actual condition. His records show that after the stroke, he was 85% disabled and would never be the same. But the family says they never knew. In an email, Atrium Health said that while they are not able to discuss the details, they treat their patients to their individual needs. The medical community has been outspoken about the dangers facing Latinos and those in the country without legal status during this pandemic, including Dr. Viviana Martinez Bianchi, a member of the COVID-19 advisory team for the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services.
There are a lot of inequities that the pandemic has unmasked in access to health, as well as education, as well as socioeconomic status, like the type of essential work they do.
Martinez Bianchi says she's heard of cases of hospitals and clinics refusing care for Spanish-speaking patients with COVID-19 symptoms because of communication barriers. She confirms that there have been no official reports and therefore the department has no cases to investigate.
If people are not being seen, they're being rejected without being seen. We need to learn about it so that we can do something about it.
Outside of her work with the health department, Martinez Bianchi is a doctor at Duke Family Medicine. As a health scholar, she researches issues of health equity within her own health system and across the state. She's found that one of the hardest things for Latinos to do is self-advocate in the hospital. This became even harder because of the pandemic. Many COVID-19 restrictions don't allow for family or advocates to be with patients. Before the pandemic, more than any other group, North Carolina Latino adults were less likely to see a doctor because of cost and lack of insurance. And those are just the financial barriers. Duke Health Latino Health expert Dr. Viviana Martinez Bianchi.
We really need more integrated language services within our hospitals.
Recently, translators shifted from just being language interpreters to also being experts on cultural differences.
The language is causing some limitations in how people are being understood during that visit with the emergency room.
The Chagoyan family's attorney, Melissa Hordachuk of the Access to Justice Project in Charlotte, says there are organizations like hers who try to advocate for marginalized groups in healthcare, but it's become harder to achieve due to the pandemic.
If you don't speak English and you're an undocumented immigrant, the pre-existing mechanisms there were for advocates don't really exist now because of COVID.
So why would immigrants need third-party advocates to begin with? Vanessa Cruz Nichols, a political science professor at Indiana University, studies political factors that impact immigrants' relationship with healthcare. She agrees that if hospitals hired more healthcare workers that reflect the communities they serve, there would be less inequity among immigrants and other marginalized groups.
They have to be, you know, reassured that their information is going to stay secure and that that of their family members, especially if they're undocumented or they know someone who's undocumented, that information is going to stay secure in order for Latinos to then feel comfortable seeking help from healthcare providers and establishing a good relationship there.
But Cruz Nichols also says the underlying cause is the United States' history of aggressive immigration policies and policing.
The way in which police interact with people in the community is going to spill over into other ways in which people interact with other forms of authority in their county, in their state. And so they're very much intertwined.
Juan's niece, Jocelyn Gonzalez, says Juan was reluctant to go to the hospital because of the fear that his immigration status, his inability to pay, and lack of medical insurance would play a role in the quality of his care.
He even was scared to go to the hospital because he's like, they're going to kill me. They're going to say I tested positive.
As a reminder, Juan was confirmed positive at Atrium Health, but the test he took the same morning of his stroke through Navant came back negative. Indiana University professor Vanessa Cruz-Nichols.
These communities are more reluctant to make healthcare appointments, more reluctant and less trusting of doctors and healthcare officials when the political context treats them in a hostile manner.
In contrast, the state health department is asking members of the Latino community to self-advocate, that is, to report any difficulties they have with healthcare systems due to a language or cultural barrier and whether medical care was denied at all. Dr. Martinez Bianchi says culturally, Latinos may see this as questioning an authority, which isn't common practice, especially among the older generations.
In the Latino community, we really tend to stray from questioning any figures of authority.
Dr. Martinez Bianchi hopes that the issues exposed by the pandemic will serve as a catalyst for the Latino community to strive for systemic change in healthcare and beyond.
We have to organize as a community so that changes occur not only during the pandemic, but long term, so that we do not continue to suffer these inequities.
It's also important to note that the average American has little expertise about the ways hospital work to begin with, compared to clinicians and hospital staff. So language barriers and cultural differences make that even harder for the Latino community. By the end of August, Latinos still represented a little over a third of all recorded cases. For WFAE, I'm Laura Brache.